Thank you, Rabbi Sam. Thank you. It's worthwhile giving a shiur just to hear your introduction. Anyway, the most important thing is there's no better way to spend the next, hour and a half. I'm not going to speak for an hour and a half, but, you know, I'm going to speak 50 minutes. But we're all waiting for 10 o'clock, the big 10 o'clock, and it'll be the fourth time. Let's hope that the best man wins. Rak Bibi. Okay. The Haggadah is majestic. The Haggadah is beautiful. It's an unbelievable piece of literature that is full with so much wisdom. There's so much in the Haggadah. And I tell you, it reached a point now that if there isn't the Haggadah in your name, you're a nobody, you know? So I'm very happy to be a nobody. There is no Rabbi Gold's Haggadah out there. But there's such a wealth of information. I want to deal with three aspects of the Megillah. Why? Did I say Megillah before? Or did I say Haggadah? Haggadah. The three aspects of the Haggadah. Aspect number one is the father is supposed to be telling his children and teaching them. Now, this fella doesn't have a doctorate in education. He most probably doesn't have a master's. Chances are he didn't even graduate elementary school. So all of a sudden, he's going to become the great teacher of his children. He's a kalyaka. I can't translate that. He can't do it. Well, this great Haggadah can turn somebody who has absolutely no background whatsoever, you can turn him into a master teacher. And we're going to watch that. We're going to see that. We're going to see how the Haggadah does it. The Haggadah takes a fellow who didn't graduate kindergarten and turn him into the one who's going to relate this great story, and they've been doing it for 3,000 years. The second aspect that I want to deal with is how you're supposed to perform. This is a very serious mitzvah. The mitzvah of the night of Pesach, we'll see, is the mitzvah of relating, telling the story. And there are a number of other things that are related to it. It's not a simple thing. I remember once saying, a few years ago, my Maytag dryer that I brought on Aliyah had finally reached the end of the line. And my repairman said, Rabbi Gold, I'm sorry, it's all over. This is the end. So he took it apart and threw it out. So I went ahead and I was advised by somebody and I bought a Zanussi. If you don't know what a Zanussi is, you don't know what a dryer is. Zanussi has two great advantages. It's an Italian company, and it's produced in Poland. I don't want, you know, the Polish have become very, very touchy, but you know what? It worked. Except for one problem. When I got my Zanussi, they gave me directions in Portuguese. What am I going to do with Portuguese? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I spoke to one of my children who went online, and he got all of the directions for the Zanussi and printed out 56 pages, and there it is. The Haggadah we will see has built into its structure a definition of the mitzvah of the night, how to go about and fulfill that mitzvah. The Haggadah takes you by the hand and explains everything to you and explains everything to everybody else. We're going to go see exactly how this works. There's a third aspect. The third aspect is that fulfilling the mitzvah of Sifu Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be made relevant. If you're going to sit a whole night and talk about what happened at the Yom Suf and the all of the various medroshim about the Makas, Dam, Tzfadeya, Kinem, or if you don't turn the message into a relevant one, the here and the now, you have not really fulfilled the mitzvah. So I'm going to show how we accomplish this. And you know, every time you learn the Haggadah, you find something new. I don't want to tell you how many years I've been saying Haggadah, but it's a pretty long time, thank God. How will Hashem be told? Now, why didn't this occur to me until this year? If you take a look at Halach Ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction, the Acholo Avatan Abara, the Mitzchayim that our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. Kol Dichvin, anybody who's hungry, come in and eat. Anybody who's in need, come join us. Second sentence. The third is, this year we are here. L'shona haba, next year bi'ara di Yisrael. Hashata avde, this year we are slaves. L'shona haba, next year we're going to be b'nei chorin. There are basically three things said in this halach ma'anya. I never noticed it. Halach ma'anya, this is the bread of affliction. The acholo avatan abara, the Mitzrayim is talking about the past. This matzah is what our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. The second part of Halach Ma'anya is called Ichfin Yeseh V'Yechol, called Itzlich Yeseh V'Yisrael. That's talking about the present. And in the present, you have to make sure that every Jew is able to fulfill the mitzvahs of Pesach. We've gone from the past into the present. The third part of Halach Ma'anya, Harshat HaHocha, this year we are here. Lashon Abba, next year we're going to be in the land of Israel. This year we are slaves, next year we'll be free. Those, of course, of us who are here, we've gone through that great step already. Okay, so the Halach Ma'anya opens the evening and tells us it has to talk about past, present, and future, and we're going to see exactly how this is going to happen in the Haggadah. After Halach Ma'anya, now I don't know what you do, but I remember my father, Olo Hashalom, when he came to Halach Ma'anya, he put the matzahs on his shoulder and he started marching around the room. And me and my two brothers, we had a nig in Halach Ma'anya. The Achol of the son of the Arad Mitzrayim. And we walked around the table and we carried the matzah with us. And then comes a Manishtana Halayla Hazeh Mikol Halaylas, the Manishtana. The Manishtana is based on the fact that the halacha requires that in the optimum manner of relating the story of Egypt, it should be through question and answer. We have to stimulate the child to ask a question. That's why there are things that we do this night that are different than other nights, so that the curiosity of the child should be awakened. He cares, he wants to know, he asks. What have they done so far? So far we dunked parsley into and a shtickle potato into salt water. And kid must be looking and say, what's going on over here? And then of all things, something we never do except the night of Pesach, before we start Halach Ma'anya, we have poured the second cup of wine, another cup of wine. So the child is he's curious, he wants to know. The most natural thing for a person is to ask a question, and when the question is asked, the attention of the questioner is completely on the answer that's going to be given. So the I don't like to disappoint you, but this is only between us. Is not to be translated, why is this night different than all other nights? That's not the translation of ma. The translation of ma, its closest thing in English, would be an explanation of my, oh my. For example, ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov mishkenotecha Yisrael. It's a statement that Bilam is making. How goodly are your tents? How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live in peace together. How great is that which you have created? It's not asking, why did you create it? The word ma, so you know, we used to say, Tata, ich will de frag in de vier kashes. So please don't disabuse the kids from it, because they won't be able to say, ma. No, ma nishtana alayla hazeh is an exclamation of surprise. Look how different this night is than all other nights. I remember some years ago, I was talking about the word ma in shul, Kehilat Zichron Yosef in Har Nof, at number 10 Agassi. And there was an old man there. Old man says, Rebbe, I want to tell you what my Rebbe told me about Manishtana. And he took me on a journey back to the great first Rashi in Chumash. Everybody should know the first Rashi in Chumash by heart. And if you don't know, learn it. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak said, Lo ho yotzorech lahatchil et ha-Torah ela me'achodesh hazelechem. Torah should have begun with laws, because it's a book of laws. The first law, that Nisan is the first of months, and the whole mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's in Parshat Bo. That's where it should have begun. And Rashi goes on to say, Oy uma tam patach bebereshit bocha. So this old man tells me that his Rebbe said, it's not a question. Rashi is saying, oh, what a great reason that they began the Torah with the story of Bereshit, so that if nations of the world are going to accuse us of having stolen Eretz Yisrael, we say, the Rebbe Hashem created it all. He gave it to you. He took it away from you, and he gave it to us. I can't help myself. There's a beautiful story I want to tell you. I made up the story, so it's fiction, but it's great fiction. Late spring of 1944 in Auschwitz, the worst place that ever existed on the face of this earth, there's a barracks. Children are in the barracks. They're exhausted, they're emaciated. The skin hangs on them. And they're just waiting. They don't talk. They have no energy anymore. The end is coming. And all of a sudden they hear the door open up and in comes saintly looking man. And he says, Kinderlach, we don't know what's gonna be, but let's at least use the time we have to learn Torah. And he says to them, let's begin from the beginning. First Rashi. And he learns the first Rashi with them. And then when he's finished, he sees an emaciated boy raising his arm. You can see the skin hanging on him. He wants to ask a question. So the Rebbe says, ask, mein Kind. And with all the energy he has left, he says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, what's Rashi talking about? That we're going to have Eretz Yisrael and the nations of the world are going to say we stole it. What's he talking about? The Jewish people are being destroyed here and now. Rashi is not dealing with reality. So the Rebbe, with tears coming down his cheek, says, Kindalach, you asked a very good question. And you have to know that we believe with perfect faith that if Rashi said that, that the nations of the world are going to accuse us of stealing Eretz Yisrael, someday it's going to be true. We learn Rashi with a leap of faith. Little did they know that 4 years later, the Rashi that for 900 years was learned by an act of great faith, if Rashi said so, that's what's going to be. We're living in the generation that Rashi needs absolutely no leap of faith in order to understand it. It's the reality. And every time we're accused or attacked by somebody, I say, Rashi tzadak, Rashi was right. Rashi was right. People don't realize that the entire way of learning a Pasuk Chumash has changed completely with the establishment of the state. Okay, so that was Manishtana. Manishtana, my Manishtana. So, child asks, question and answer. The teacher has made certain differences that arouse the curiosity of the student. So we begin with Avodim Hayinu. Now let me make one thing very clear. The mitzvah of the night we will see is the mitzvah of relating the story of what happened in Egypt. It does not begin at Avodim Hayinu. The Mishnah in Psachim, I think today they finished, Daf Yomi. Mishnah in Psachim says, to fulfill the mitzvah of relating the story of Egypt, Doresh Me'arami Oved Ovi. You have to study the 3.5 psukim in Torah that begin with the words Arami Oved Ovi. Those psukim are in Parshat Ki Tovu. A Jew, when he's in Eretz Yisrael, and he brings the first fruits to the Bet HaMikdash, he's supposed to make a declaration, Arami Oved Ovi. My father was a lost Aramean, Arami Oved Ovi, Fayeded Mitzchayma. He went down to Egypt. We're going to study each phrase in the next few psukim, and that's going to be the manner by which we are going to fulfill the mitzvah of Sipu Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're going to say what the Jew says when he brings the first fruit, and we're going to prove it by relating back to the story in Shmot for Eder, Bo, Beshalach. Why don't we tell the story as it is said in Shmot, and we go to some psukim in Dvorim? The reason for that is simple. Because the fellow who brings the first fruits, Bikurim, he says it like it's his story. We went down to Egypt. We suffered. There's no disconnect between him and the events of Mitzrayim. He says it. It's me. It happened to me. To us. In that Avodah Mayinu, look at all the instructions. The Baal HaGad is giving us instructions. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. God took us out of there with a strong-handed and outstretched arm. If God would not have taken our fathers out of Egypt, we, our children, our children's children, would have remained indebted to Paro. Mitzrayim doesn't mean that we would remain enslaved. You know, they would have broken the chains of slavery, but they have to be indebted to a Paro. There was no God. And it goes on to say, even though we are all wise, we are all understanding, we are all elders, kulanim yodvas haTorah, we all know the Torah. That includes everybody. Mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitziat Mitzchayim, it's a mitzvah upon us to relate the story of the exodus of Egypt. So here, he's right over here, he's defining who is obligated to fulfill the mitzvah. Until we get to Arami Ovid Ovi, step by step, the Baal HaGadah is defining the mitzvah of Sipur Yetziat Mitzrayim. Who is obligated? When should the mitzvah be performed? He's giving instructions. This is how the Zanussi works. And even, B'chol HaMadah L'Sapeh B'Yetziat Mitzrayim, and if you elaborate at length, then comes Ma'isa B'Rabbi Eliezer, the story of the five rabbis, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Tarfon, who were sitting around the Seder in Bnei Brak. V'hayu misaprim b'yitziyat Mitzrayim kol oto halayla, and they were telling the story of the Exodus that whole night until their students came and told them, Rabotenu, Higia, Zman, Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. There are so many questions that I rest on this Maisa. The only one of the five who lived in Bnei Brak was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yoshua was someplace in the Galil. Rabbi Eliezer was in Lud. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm not sure. Rabbi Tarfon, what are they all doing in Bnei Brak? And furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer is the one who says that he praises the one who stays home for Yantiv. And here he is. He's gone. He's not at home. He's in Bnei Brak by Rabbi Akiva. Rav Soloveitchik brings that this is what Darshanim said, and they had a pretty good idea that the five are gathered there in order to plan the rebellion against Rome. The heel of Rome was crushing the Jewish people, crushing them, and they had to break out of it all. They knew that the man who has the ability to do that is Rabbi Akiva. So they came and they planned under the guise of sitting at the Seder, and for that matter, most probably, talking about throwing off the yoke of Rome is Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We got to do it. And the students, does it really mean that the students came in the morning and they said, hey, Rebbe, you know, it's Magen Avraham's man, or you got to say Krishna. That's not what it meant. That was the code word. Because who was going to do the fighting? The students were going to do the fighting. And they had to come back with an answer. Are they going to do it? And their answer was, Rabotenu, Higia Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. You know how you're supposed to understand this? You're supposed to understand this as the great slogans, give me liberty or give me death. Don't shoot till you see the whites of their eyes. Well, who was it? The American general in the Battle of the Bulge, when he was asked to surrender the American forces to the Germans, he said, nuts to you. That's a nuts to you. Here the great battle cry is, Rabotenu, the time for Kriyat Shema in the morning has arrived. Kriyat Shema means that we are beholden to only one, God himself. We are not to be enslaved by anybody else. This is therefore their response, saying that we're ready to go out and fight, to fight Rome. With the next piece in the Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Omar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, I am like this is the last Mishnah in the first parak of Masechet Brachot. Listen carefully. Omar Rabbi Elazar Rolo said, I'm like 70 years old. The rabbis did not agree with me about saying Yitziat Mitzrayim at night. Until Ben Zoma came and Darshan Shanara. In order that you remember the day that you went out of Egypt, all the days of your life. So he learns, Yemei Chayecha refers to the days, Kol Yemei Chayecha, all the days of your life, means the nights. The Chachamim say, Yemei Chayecha, Olam Azeh, Yemei Chayecha means this world, Kol Yemei Chayecha. The first thing that's accomplished over here with this is the Balagod is telling us, you see, you can't make a mistake. There's a mitzvah of Sipur and there's a mitzvah of Mazkirin, and never the two shall meet. First of all, because over here, the Chachamim say there isn't even a mitzvah to remember at night. The whole mitzvah of the Seder is Leil Shimurim. How can you say? You don't have to bring it, you don't have to mention it at night, because this Mishnah is talking about a different mitzvah, the mitzvah of Zechirat Yetziat Mitzrayim. That's why we say the parasha of Tzitzis in Kriyat Shema, morning and evening, in order to mention. There's a big difference between mentioning Yetziat Mitzrayim or Sipur, relate. Mentioning is mentioning. Sipur is elaborating. That mitzvah of elaborating is only the night of Pesach. Now here, I'm going to have to pull up my Gemara Brachos. You know, I don't have. Omalim ben Zoma, the Chachamim ben Zoma said to the Chachamim, the rabbi said, mentioning Yitziat Mitzrayim, not at night, but in the days of Mashiach. So Ben Zoma says, rabbis, what are you talking about? Are we going to mention Yitziat Mitzrayim in times to come? And he quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Listen carefully to this pasuk. And incidentally, they make no mention of it, but this pasuk appears twice in Sefer Yirmiyahu, in chapter 23 and earlier in chapter 17. Now listen to this. Follow Kranemad already says in Yirmiyahu, Hinei yomim bo'im, no'om Hashem, days are coming, says God. V'lo yomru od, and they will no longer say, Chai Hashem, I swear by God, we're no longer going to say that praise be God who brought us out of the land of Egypt. You know what we're going to say in time to come? The pasuk continues. Ki'im, we're going to say Chai Hashem. I swear by God. Listen carefully. Asher he'elo, who brought up, v'asher hevi, who brought, et zerah beit Yisrael, the children of the house of Israel, may Eretz Tzafona from the north, umikol ha'aratzah, said from all of the lands, asher hidachtim sham. That's quite a... By the way, could we say that pasuk today? My Zayda couldn't have said this pasuk. Asher hela v'asher hevi, God who brought from the north and from all other places. We're the ones that can say it. My Zayda couldn't. So I've tried to get my family some point in the Seder to read that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, chapter 23. Chai Hashem. Asher Helev, Asher Hevi, who brought up Jews from all over the world. We see it. We live it. Okay. Okay. I had to get that in. Okay. So let's go further. Baruch HaMachom Baruch Hu Baruch Shenos Antola Amo Yisrael Keneged Arbo Bonim Dibra Torah Echad Chochom V'Echad Rosho V'Echad Tom V'Echad She'ena Yudei Elisho. Four children. So obviously here the father is being taught that you have to take into consideration individual differences between the children. You can't teach each one of the children in the same manner. I mean, you have to be aware of that. Chanoch lenar al pitako, Shlomo HaMelech said, have to educate a child in his way. Each one has to have a different approach. One is a chacham, one is wise, one is a chashi, he's evil. There are different ways to translate tam. Simple or tam meaning a true tzaddik, like Yaakov, ish, tam. And then the one, Shenu Yadei Lishol Apsachlo. So I came up with a, because it had never bothered me before. I have to say, this is a great story. I read it a few months ago when Shlomo Kalbach visited Russia for the first time. That was the late 70s, if I'm not mistaken. So the story goes that when he went to the airport to return to the United States, he had already a whole group of Hasidim behind him, and they came with him. And as he was standing before he went up the onto the plane, he gave out whatever he had to all the people that were there. And then he's finished giving everything out. There's a little boy over there who's crying. He wanted so much to get something from Rav Shlomo, and he doesn't have anything. And then instinctively, he takes off his kippah and he gives it to this little boy. You couldn't buy the boy for $1 million. He was beaming. And Shlomo went up onto the plane, sat down, and then a few minutes later, somebody walks by him and says, Shlomo, Shlomo, be ashamed of yourself that you're sitting without a kippah. Okay? What category do you put that fellow in? He's certainly not a chacham. I'm not so sure whether he's a rosh, he's a dope. What he should have done, of course, was, Shlomo, you lost your kippah here. I'll put on my hat and take my kippah. No, he has already decided that this guy, Shlomo Kalbach, finished. He threw away his kippah and he's sitting there without a kippah. So I don't know what category you put him in. I'm not sure whether he's a rosh, he may just be, I don't know, I don't use any bad words. Either there's a fifth category, a fifth son that's not mentioned here, or I don't know. Then I have another one. You may have seen it, there was a letter to the editor in the Jerusalem Post. Now, if any of you thought that this year is gonna pass without a reference, the Jerusalem Post is making a terrible mistake. I have it here, found it. There was a fellow who wrote a letter to the editor. This decades-long debate as to who is a Jew is flaring its ugly head once again. Some of my fellow Orthodox brethren may take umbrage at my answer, but I believe, this fellow says, you want to know who's a Jew? But I believe the response is quite simple. If this individual would have been deemed eligible to be tossed into a gas chamber by the Nazis, then he, she is a Jew. Now, Doesn't that sound so elegant? Feeling. So I got to tell you a story, another story that'll explain this story. When I was rabbi in West Hempstead, you know, I had my liberals there too. You had everything. You had the right-wing extremists. You had the left-wing liberals. The hearts were going out for everybody. Colored people have a right to live everywhere, not in West Hempstead, okay? Anyway, there was a lecturer, a very prominent Orthodox rabbi at the time, who gave a lecture in, what's the place in the Five Towns? With a W.
Woodmere?
Woodmere. How did I forget Woodmere? You know, maybe it's a beginning that I forgot Woodmere. I don't forget how. Okay, so here it is. They come over to me and they say, Rabbi, we heard this fellow in Woodmere. What a thinker. What a speaker. What a hint. What a hair. We'd like to have him speak here. So he asked him, do you have a tape? Tape. Only you can understand what I'm talking about. Remember tapes, you know? Tapes. They say, yeah, they bring me a tape. I take it home and I'm listening to it. My wife, Bela Lea Shalom, is reading some books. She's always reading something. And we're listening to the tape. And the lecturer says that following the Holocaust, he must disagree with Rabbi Moshe. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Why must he disagree? Because after Hitler took all sorts of Jews and destroyed them, how could we separate one Jew from another? And what did Rabbi Feinstein do? You know what Rabbi Feinstein did? He said that Kedushin performed, marriage performed by a Reformed rabbi is not valid. How do you do that after the Holocaust? I thought my wife didn't know what was going on. And then I hear her call out, after the Holocaust, the Pesach is Hitler, your Machshavai. Boy, when I heard that, it's still ringing in my ears. Okay. Rav Meisher, when he said that Reformed Kedushin is not valid, saved Klal Yisrael from the plague of Mamzerut, because they're not going to get a divorce Al Pidin anyway. He saved Klal Yisrael. But now after the Holocaust, I have to disagree with Rav Moshe. Anyway, that Shabbos, my drasha was what the Rebbetzin blurted out, you understand? Those guys never came to ask me again to bring in somebody to speak. You see, people, this fellow who wrote the letter, it sounds like such a glorious ethical thing to do. Anybody who would have been killed by Hitler, that's a joke. And he doesn't realize that what he's doing is he is casting away Torah from Sinai. The Rambam, Rashi, Rabbi Akiva, all the great of all generations, and that Hitler, Yimach Shemay, becomes the Posek. You have to be very aware of what you're saying. People don't, it sounds so beautiful. It's not beautiful. That fellow also, I don't know where he fits into. He certainly is not a chacham. I can't say he's a rasha. He meant well. Is he a tam? Is he sheni a day elisha? I don't know. Okay, I just wanted to get all of that in. Now, watch what happens after the four sons. Listen to this. A little paragraph. Yochol, I would think, may Rosh Chodesh. that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzayim, this Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, begins Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Talmud Loma, so the Torah says, Bayomahu on that day. E Bayomahu, it would only say Bayomahu that day. Yochel, I would think, maybe Ojom during the daylight, before night. Talmud Loma, the pasuk goes on to say, Bavur Zeh, because of this. Bavur Zeh lo amarti el b'shor sheyesh matzah u'maro munochem lefanecho. Bavur Zeh means only when you have matzah and mora on the table before you. You know what this, you know what this three-line chapter has done? We already know the definition of Sipur, different from Zechira. We know that kol amar b'lusafe b'yitzias Mitzrayim. Okay. Now we have to pinpoint precisely when do you have to fulfill the mitzvah. And here it is. In this paragraph, they're telling us time and place. And then, okay. Then after that, we say, Mitkila Ovdav Rezorah Hayo. At first, our fathers were idolaters. V'achshav, and now Kervora Matla Vodoto. God brought us close to his service, Shenema. And there's a difference of opinion in the Gemara. The Mishnah says, four words, Matchil Bignut U'Mesayim B'Shevach. Matchil Bignut, you have to begin with the disparaging part of Jewish history, U'Mesayim, and you finish it with Shevach, the praise. You know, what they're saying simply, of course, is you can't start a story and they lived happily ever after. What came before? I always use this as an example. You can't tell the story of June 1967 without having told the story of May 1967. You had to have felt the terror, the fear, that a terrible destruction is going to be brought upon the Jewish people. They're digging 10,000 graves in Tel Aviv. Yeah, just saw the crowds in Damascus and in Cairo, in Bahar Yaud. When you get the feeling of how serious the situation was, and then comes the great Yeshua, Messiah the Shevach, and you end with the praise. In the Gemara, there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says the genut at the beginning is that our parents were idolaters and God brought them close to him. Rav says the genut, the disparaging part of our history, is that we were enslaved, and the praise is that we came out of Egypt. In the Haggadah, we do both Rav and Shmuel. We talk about Nitkila over the Aveda Zorai Ozenu, and then we also say Avodim, Avodim Ayinu. Right, there's so much more. There's so much more. Now watch. We're going to finish soon. V'hisham l'avoteinu v'lonu. This is a classic example of relevance. If you stop to think about it, our rabbis were geniuses. Shelo echad devad omad aleinu l'chalotenu. It's not one alone who stood up against us. Elo shebekol dar v'adar omdem aleinu l'chalotenu. The rabbis who wrote this 2,500 years ago. How did they know? How in heaven's name did they know? But they knew. Absolutely. Bekol dar v'adar omdem aleinu l'chalotenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Matzilenu, Mi'adam and Kam, Holy One, blessed be He, saves us from their hands. And then, right after the Hishamda, begins, Tsei Ulamad Ma, Bikesh, Lovin, Harami, Lazos, Yaakov, Avinu. At that point, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim begins. Okay, you have a lot of work. We'll leave you a lot of work there. Yeah, just also a note of caution. I was in a Sforn store in Mount Beit Shemesh, and I saw that there was a new edition of a Haggadah that had come out maybe 10, 15 years ago. Oh, I grabbed it, and I took a look, and oh, shucks. I had seen this Haggadah 15 years ago, and there was a paragraph there that was so bad. It was so bad. You should know you have to be careful. Some Haggadahs can be dangerous to your spiritual being. You have to be smart. Here, the Haggadah says in the name of a giant of our time, a giant. Listen to this. Elu, notan lanu et haTorah, if God would have given us the Torah, velo hichnisanu le'eretz Yisrael, and would not have brought us into the land of Israel. Dayenu, if he would have given us Torah without Eretz Yisrael. So this godless quoted a saying, and I can swear on a stack of Haggadahs, he never uttered anything as stupid as that. And the guy who wrote this, I don't know where he fits into the Chacham Rosha Tam Sheni Yedei Lishol. He most probably has to go into that new category that I'm going to create. He writes the following. Oh, take a look at these people. All they talk about is Eretz Yisrael. And look what the Haggadah says. If he would have given us Torah and not given us Eretz Yisrael, that would be enough. I read it. I read it. And what's he going to do when a few sentences earlier it says, Elu, if he would have brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu, who needs the Torah? Understand, the guy is so stupid. Do you get what, if you understand what I'm saying, just shake your heads a little bit. I want to see some. If he would have given us the Torah, not brought us into Eretz Yisrael. Okay. And then the end is, of course, is that he gave us the Torah, v'chnisanu l'Eretz Yisrael, and brought us into Eretz Yisrael. You got to beware of Narishkeit, because there are people who write and say Narishkeit. You understand? The Haggadah, I can keep talking for hours and hours, but I think this is it. Should all have a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, and don't bite your nails till 10 o'clock, you know. Whatever it is, it's going to be. And in this country, you understand, there's never a dull moment. This country produces news every minute of the day. There are countries in this world, I always said it about Canada. Canada is the most boring place in the world. I can be there once and come back a year later, nothing changed, nothing happened. Yeah, I see those people from Canada, yeah, well, they think they got exciting stuff over there. You're still waiting for your vaccination, you understand? Still waiting for your vaccination. Israel, what, 6 million people already are vaccinated? That's it. That's the way it is. Okay. No, okay. The important thing is we should all have a good gesunte yontif. Okay, everybody, Chag Kosher v'Sameach.